Hey, my name's Craig. This is the first time I've been to Osmo DevCon. I want to thank you all for having me here, and I've learned a ton of things from everybody, so I really appreciate that. So I'm going to talk about porting Osmo CombiB to MediaTek chips. I've been working on it for a couple years, maybe a year. About 8 or so years ago, I started working with Osmo CombiB on the Motorola phones. I was just trying to make myself a phone that I enjoyed more, that was open. I wanted to know what was inside of it, and try to make a phone that was less distracting. So, you know, not all the screen and the Android and the whatever else. Just some background on things I've done over the past 8 years. I've messed around a lot with Android and pulling Zygote out. So that's the UI, the Java UI, and just, you know, stop that process and then do like Debian change root and some terminal stuff and CLI tools. I did it on this Moto Active Watch and a Geeks Phone Keon. And then I also messed around for a while trying to pull layer one into NutX, which is something some other people worked on too, NutX BB. Didn't really make a whole lot of progress there. Currently the things I'm working on mostly, besides this, are post-market OS. So just trying to make like a frame buffer console with some other things. I wrote a gesture recognition thing, kind of like Palm Pilot Graffiti, to work on that. So that's kind of background of the stuff that I've done. So the target devices for what I'm working on, the first one is the SiPhone Dream G2, which has a 6235 chip inside of it that previous people have developed a U-boot that you can load into it. There's OsmoCon. In Osmo CombiB can interact with a boot ROM protocol that's available on most MediaTek chips. So you can do things like read, write memory, load a big chunk into memory, as well as jump to an address in memory. So that's how they kind of formulated a way to load things into RAM and run them. And that's how they run U-boot. There was some code for just a loader in Osmo CombiB for that phone. Fernvale is a project by Bunny Huang and Sean Cross. They developed an open hardware platform that includes the MediaTek 6260 chip. They spent some time reversing. It uses the same boot ROM protocol, so you can load code into it and run it. There's a little project called Fernly that interacts with a little program that they load to let you experiment with reading and writing and manipulating like a screen and things like that. There's also lots of SIM800 modules that have 6260 or 6261, and they're just barely different. I have many watch phones that have a 6261 inside them. My personal phone has a 6735 in it, which I don't really have direct source for, but some kind of corollary source for it. It's 4G LTE, and then there's this newer Orange Pi 4G IoT, which has almost the same chip as this thing. It's also 4G LTE, and then there's some other leaked sources and stuff. I'll get to that in a second. So those are the target devices. My hope is to get stuff working on the SiPhone Dream G2, since there's a data sheet that's rather complete. I don't know of any other data sheets that are complete for the other chips. And then from there, move on to Fernvale and SIM800. SIM800, you can buy that for like $5 to $10 on eBay. So I think it'd be a really great platform for people to kind of keep working on getting layer one, working on it, and different experiments that people want to do. This is my fancy org mode presentation. So what I've done so far. So I've kind of poked around on lots of different MediaTek devices with the ROM protocol. I can interact with this phone and pull out of memory where it keeps its config registers, and it tells me that it's got this 6735 chip, and I've got this simple Python script that I've kind of searched around on different devices to find that config block in memory, because it starts with like the chip. So that's this simple serial script that I wrote, part of somebody else's project, MTK Open Tools. So I did that. Okay, so the other thing I've done is I've, so Fernley has support for the serial UART, actually it's a serial over USB device in 6260. And I took some of that code and a little bit of like a blinky light code that they had and put that into firmware for Osmocom. And maybe I'll just show that real quick, maybe. So it's funny because I was describing some of these things, and then Powell had all these questions about, like, how does it work? So let's see. I'll go in their screen, and I better make it bigger. Is that big enough? Maybe make it bigger. So, okay, that's probably big enough. All right, so on the common source. Oh, not that one. I want to go into Fernley. So this is Fernley, and so this is the host program. This tells it to wait for the serial device to come up. This is the serial device. It's a USB serial device. This is an initial firmware that gets loaded inside the device that then lets them interact with it, kind of like our Osmoload stuff. And then the second one is a little bit more extensive firmware. You can just run that one by itself, and then it just automatically connects right here on the host, and then you can just type in read-write and different things like test the screen or detect button pushes and things like that. And then you can also specify a third ARG that's another firmware to load then after that. And you can see here I've got some firmware compiled for the 6260. It says layer one. It's not layer one. Not hardly. it wants to, yeah. So then, see if I can get this to work. Huh? Oh no. Of course. Let's see if it's there or not. Let's see. Ford, Ferndale. It's there. So what's the deal? Demo, gods, be nice. Cat, 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 cat. Yeah, that should be good. Oh, okay, I think I know what the deal is. I'll just do this real quick. There we go. There we go. Okay, that's probably the deal. Hopefully. Yeah, okay. Try this again. Yeah, okay, great. So now you can see that I'm sending out ones and zeros from the serial, from the firmware. And it's blinky light. I added in this too, which reads out the chip number out of the config block.
This bitrate is less than the GSM bitrate.
if you notice, this is not any one of the, what is it, 8 different training sequences. Yeah, right. I don't know. That's a good question. I did actually... observe, I was trying to print out a whole bunch of debugging information via serial when I was trying to bring up the RF system, and it seemed like the things were out of order. Maybe there's some problem there somewhere. I'm not sure.
How do you actually interrupt the normal booting process?
Can you use that?
Oh, yeah. So...
How do you make it load your custom firmware? How do you interrupt the regular booting process?
Right, yeah, I think a diagram of this would be pretty nice. So there's a boot ROM, and it's a first stage bootloader. If you interact with the UART port in a certain way with some magic numbers, it initiates this protocol, and then you can read and write memory and jump to an address. So it just writes a block of firmware into the RAM and then jumps to it. So
it's something similar to what we have with Calypso phones.
Absolutely.
You briefly press this red button and okay.
Absolutely. Thank yeah. You. Yeah. Okay. So that's one thing I've done. Another thing I've done is taken the code that's in U-Boot. So in the U-Boot code that they made for the SiPhone Dream G2, there was a TX Burst kind of demo command that you could run. And there was little bits of some support for the transceiver chips in Osmocom already that they copied and put in there and added to. And then I took that and pulled it back into Osmocom. So now we have more header files and things like that in my branch for the MT6235. And so I got that TX Burst thing working back on the in Osmocom firmware on the SiPhone Dream G2. And today, actually, Piotr helped me understand that what that does right now is it has the ARM core controls the transceiver and just turns it on to transmit. There's no DSP that's generating any kind of data yet. So that's the next thing I would probably work on there. And then try to do another demo. Hopefully there's not too many demos. I mean, I figured demos are good, right? Let's see. Okay, so here I'm gonna run this loader, which is gonna load onto this SiPhone Dream G2 I have here. It's kind of picky, so it's not always nice, but hopefully it'll work. Ah! Okay, that was just the antenna. Good. There we go. I can reconnect the antenna. I have to hold the button down on this device in order to get it to load all the firmware. Okay, so now it's loaded. I can reconnect the antenna that I have, which actually disables the antenna on the device. And then I can interact with the device. So yeah, you can see here I got received a Pong, so I just ping Pong. And then I added the TX Burst as a command for the MTK loader, just because it was the easiest way to get it in there. And actually I need to start the other bit here, this one, yeah. Okay, so here I've got my SDR connected up with a couple attenuators, and I should be able to do transmit. And so if I change the RFCN, you can see that it's going along in little chunks and it's something. So, and that's something that, you know, I really just copied the code from you back into Osmocom. But, you know, I mean, I've been spending most of my time after I got this done trying to understand every little bit of code. So, yeah. Okay, so there's another demo. That's that one. All right, so we'll go back to here. So there's that bit. And what's that? Oh, it's all kind of contained, right? It's not on the air. It's I had to go find this fancy connector somewhere that plugs in, so it turns off the antenna. Yeah, right. Yeah, thank you. I was very concerned about that when I came here. I got like a year or so ago, I got my ham radio technician class license because in America, there's the 900 meter band that's open for technician class license. Obviously not open for the kind of transmissions, but I thought I'd get a little bit legal. Yeah, right. There you go, fairly legal. Okay, so the next thing I've been working on a lot, actually a while ago, I made a, I should probably show this first. This is kind of a collection of all the leaked sources that I know about. So all those are either 6260 or 61. And then there's also this one here. which is for $67.95. It's quite a bit newer. It's got things that look like baseband firmware for LTE. So it also has some things that look like they interact with the transceiver that they use with that, which is this MT6169. So, you know, theoretically, if I can get enough information and it's similar enough, I could maybe do that same TX burst with the much newer chips. Okay, so that's the... I don't want to go back up here. Yeah, so a while back, I took one of those leaked sources and I made a little makefile that I can define different chips. I include a whole bunch of stuff that I figured out. And so a few more ifs and here and there. And this allows me to not build anything that I can run, but I use save temps here. And that lets me, there's a lot of ifdefs all over the place, tons. And so it was really hard to follow the code. So I did this to kind of follow the code. So I could, you know, look for the function I'm looking for, see what other functions it calls, try to figure out what addresses it was using for registers and whatnot. So that was one strategy I used to try to figure things out. I did recently start to use this Ghidra provided by the NSA so that I can reverse engineer. I don't know. This is my first entry into reverse engineering, so I know that I should be using IDA Pro, but I don't have that. I've tried that a little bit, and it should be good for me because I actually use ED to do most of my editing, so it's just, you know, similarly obscure. And actually, I guess I was looking at some other stuff here. This I found this function called... okay, so to explain this, one of the leaked sources has a .elf file that's got the symbols in it. And so this is what I'm decompiling here. And I found this great function. It's L1D, which I think is layer 1 daemon, DSP put transmit data. So this should be the function I need. It'll just be... as Holger was saying the other day, it's just be easy. I just have to take this function and just you know, take the facts out and re-implement it, and it'll be easy. but I started with this one, L1D.
Start with the init.
Yeah, right, yeah, I know. Well, and the thing is, like, some amount of things are already initted with the code that people have already worked on. But I suspect that they didn't do anything with the DSP at all. So I'm wondering if maybe, you know, so this is this L1D init, which is different than, so the code that already exists in that TX burst does some RF init. And there's a function called L1D RF init. And what they did pretty much matches with what the leaked source code does, which I don't think probably includes like this one, which the, you know, DSP init, and then later on there's the DSP init. Oh, DSP wake up, that's the other one. So obviously there's some things here. What I was looking in here for initially was the next step was going to be like try to get the device to sync with the BTS. So looking at the frequency burst and like the FCCH and SCCH. So I started trying to find that in the source code, and there's just nothing there. So what I suspect is that the leaked source code doesn't have any of the C code that interacts with the DSP. I haven't really confirmed that yet, but I suspect it because I found a lot of references to things that aren't available in C files. And so looking here, I'm hopeful that by looking through here and maybe I can get, and actually I think I got that TXT. Oh, I was doing a search for L1D DSP, and that's how I found that transmit data stuff. So, yeah, so I'm looking through this. I'm going to look through this and try to figure out what it's doing. I found one really exciting discovery is that a lot of the DSP code is manipulating an address that I've never seen referenced anywhere. So that's kind of exciting because I feel like there's probably just a whole block of registers that are communicating with the DSP. So... that's kind of exciting to kind of know where it is, even though I don't know what it is. Let's see, what else? Yeah, so the leak sources, and then, so that there is a data sheet for the 6235 that pretty well describes these two interfaces to the transceiver, I think. So the baseband serial interface and baseband parallel interface. The way I understand, I don't actually know what the system-on-chip architecture is precisely. There's certainly an ARM core. I don't know if there's a separate core. I'm not much of an expert with hardware, so maybe a separate core for baseband or not, but I think there's not. I think there might be an ARM core, a DSP core inside the SoC, and then outside that is the transceiver chip. That's kind of my idea right now. So this BSI and BPI, which is a parallel interface, interact with the transceiver, and this is what that TX Burst is using to configure the transceiver to open things up.
Serial, right?
Both. So there's baseband serial interface and baseband parallel interface. The way I understand it right now is that for both of these, there's a TDMA-driven mode that you can use. And there's also a immediate mode that can be used. And the code currently is using the immediate mode. And like the TX Burst, when they initialize things and when they do the burst, they have a lot of things where they wait a little bit of time based on the TDMA clock. So they wrote a function to basically pull the TDMA clock and wait, you know, 5 qubits or something. Depending on, and those numbers that they put in there are, I don't even know what they are. I tried to add them up, tried to match them with some particular burst type, and it just, I don't even know what it is. There's a whole bunch of configuration in the source, and I also found a GSM layer one document. It's like a, here's how you interact with the layer one firmware document for MediaTek. That I had not seen until like a month ago, and that had a whole bunch of really interesting information. It describes a whole bunch of kind of like timing diagrams, the TDMA, and various like tuning adjustments that you can make for the basic timing of different things inside of layer one of their firmware. So, and I found the .h files for different transceiver chips, where they have a big chunk of, you know, qubit timings for different aspects of transmission and reception, ramp up, ramp down, stuff like that. Yeah, and the parallel access is like just like kind of immediate like on-off directly connected to the pins of the transceiver. So like in the transmit, there's one where you turn on the PA or something like that. Yeah, and so I have a whole bunch of notes on like what all the code means in the transmit burst, and I've done the static analysis like I was showing with the Ghidra. My plan is to probably work on the synchronization with the BTS, the kind of RX stuff next, and I definitely want to take the many, many pages of notes that I have and coalesce them into wiki entries and stuff on the Osmocom site. And that's pretty much it for the real things that I've done that aren't vaporware. I have lots of vaporware ideas, so we'll share those for another time. So that's it, right? It's about, yeah. Yeah. Like, Paul?
There's a second point there, was a conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it on or off? It's on test.
As long as it's
on. No. First off, thanks for the presentation and continuing the work that started, 9 years ago when first looking at the MediaTek platform. And what I just remembered from back then is that there's this, I think there was a separate firmware just for calibration purposes, this KAL stuff, I think.
Okay.
Which implements a rather minimal layer one, so maybe it's easier to look at this.
And that's a like a binary somewhere, or
I think so. And there were also, I think, relinkable objects somewhere with debug information.
Oh, okay,
so,
yeah.
And so because it's a lot, simpler.
Right. So, yeah. 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 Right. Okay. Cool. Okay. Awesome.
Maybe it's hypothetical future, but I was just thinking, so it's maybe a next step or a lot of steps afterwards. So at some point, so now we are running layer one only in there, but so it seems like actually you can run a lot of stuff there, like as in a mobile phone, let's say.
Yeah.
So at some point, if I guess you can run even Linux there. So I'm just wondering... What would be the interface like? So in if you basically run layer one on the same SOC with Linux. So is there some kind of interface available for this kind of communication, or we should create one? Or
what do you mean by interface? You mean?
Well, I mean so you want to communicate probably from user space to the kernel, and then the kernel has to set up some registers or whatever, I guess. Or
you mean like on the device?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like to
yeah, I mean, I certainly
complete,
thought
complete
of
phone
like
on the
two things. Certainly, I felt like it might be important to maintain the ability to run like the mobile app on the host and do experiments like that. So maintain that kind of Osmocon connection there, and then. Certainly I would plan on trying to run something, some OS like Nutx. I think the 6260N1 maybe don't have enough something to run Linux. So maybe it'd be Nutx, I don't know. They already have Nutx for it. The Bunny and Chris Sean did that. The plan would be definitely to have a usable system just on the phone. Yeah.
If I can add to that, I think, of course, it's like talking about step 30 before. Yeah, I mean, since the protocol between the layer 1 and layer 2 and higher is right now spoken over UART, you could actually have the layer 1 in the kernel and then have something like a virtual serial port to user space.
Right.
So you can run the unmodified mobile program on your user space, talking not over a real serial line to a remote processor, but really talking to over a virtual serial port to the local layer one inside the kernel. But
yeah, that's great. Long-term? Yeah, I mean, I imagine that maybe at some point I would do something in a phono, for example. I don't know. I'm not going to do much. My goal is to make a phone that I like. And the phone that I like is extremely minimal, so I'll do the bare minimum, especially if it's also helpful to others. And you know, somebody else can take that serial port and make a phono adapter or something so that it can be used for people that want a UI. So. Yeah? Cool. Thanks. Yeah.